Yeah, we'll take a short break, and then we will resume, Mr. Briggs, with item number 14.
Correct.
Go.
Okay, item 14 is consideration of a recommended waiver of waste discharge requirements for an engineered on-site disposal system at the Cashby residence in Carmel Highlands, Monterey County. And presenting our staff report today is Matthew Keeling of our staff.
Thank you, Roger.
There we go. How's that?
That's
Thank
better.
You, Roger. Mr. Chairman, good afternoon, members of the board. As Roger said, I'm before you today to propose a resolution for a waiver of waste discharge requirements for an engineered on-site wastewater disposal system in the Carmel Highlands area. The address is 74 Corona Road. This is something of an unusual resolution given that the site-specific conditions don't necessarily dictate the need for an advanced or an engineered type wastewater on-site wastewater disposal system. However, the project applicant proposed an advanced system design based on concerns that were expressed by our agency last spring over the ongoing permitting of on-site systems within the Carmel Highlands area as a whole. The county has tentatively approved the project and submitted it to us for a basin plan exemption because the MOU between Monterey County and our agency doesn't allow them to approve engineered on-site wastewater disposal systems. We granted the basin plan exemption on January 18th, and the proposed resolution is required because basin plan exemptions for on-site disposal systems requires a waiver of waste discharge requirements. In addition, the county's approval is based on an interim ordinance that specifies standards that are intended to provide relief for a limited number of pending applicants that the county has in queue while mitigating potential site-specific and cumulative area-wide impacts as a result of any additional on-site wastewater disposal systems that are installed in the Carmel Highlands area and pending the implementation of an on-site wastewater management plan. The proposed resolution is for one of these limited number of pending applicants. Now, the standards contained within the county's interim ordinance are attached to the proposed resolution as conditions. And if approved, this resolution will likely be used as a template for a general waiver for the nine remaining list of additional applicants that the county has for permitting of on-site systems within the Carmel Highlands area.
What about the projects on appeal?
The projects on appeal?
Yeah, there was some mention in here that the county also had projects on appeal.
Well, I think that was in reference to this project. What had happened is that kind of started this process and our involvement was that neighboring property owners appealed it to the County Board of Supervisors. It was on its way to being approved by Monterey County without any action on our part. And then it was referred back to us because they wanted clarification on whether or not it met the basin plan.
So the 10 equals the projects on appeal, in a sense.
Well, no, they're not on appeal. This is a really unusual situation. Hopefully, when we go through this, my presentation will clarify it. And if not, we can go back and I'll try to specifically address that. And so there's kind of two layers to this proposed resolution. I certainly understand your confusion. This is the southernmost portion of the Monterey County's local coastal program land use plan. And what I basically scaled down because I wanted to show you the Carmel Highlands area here, and it's just basically this yellow area that I'm outlining right here, and you can see Highway 1 is the dotted line running north and south through the area. I'd also like to point out the southern portion of the Point Lobos Ecological Reserve area of special biological significance. Carmel by the Sea is approximately 3 miles to the north on Highway 1. And the Carmel Highlands area consists of approximately 300 lots, of which approximately two-thirds are currently developed. Most of the remaining undeveloped lots are constrained by physical conditions that make permitting of physical structures, water supply wells, and on-site wastewater disposal systems very difficult, if not impossible altogether. This area is not sewer except for Highlands Inn, Tickle-Pink Inn, and the Highlands Sanitary Association, which consists of 12 single-family dwellings. And the two inns are located within this little pink island right here, and then the Highlands Sanitary Association homes are immediately adjacent to that. Unfortunately, the trunk line that runs from this area north to the Carmel Area Wastewater District treatment facility, which I think was completed sometime in 2002 or 2003, is only sized to handle a limited amount of additional flow above what was required for the inns and the Highlands Sanitary Association.
Can you talk about that for a second?
Sure.
Why it was sized that? Wasn't there some request that it be sized larger?
Yeah, our staff tried to broker a deal between the Carmel Area Wastewater District and State Parks and the county at the time that they were going to extend a trunk line from the Carmel Area Wastewater District down to the Point Lobos area. We saw this as a perfect opportunity to sewer the Carmel Highlands area once and for all. Unfortunately, as has happened in the past, local opposition based on, you know, anti-growth issues successfully kind of stymied that process. And so it just wasn't feasible for them to put in a trunk line and force mains that were sized to handle all that flow because it wouldn't operate under low flow conditions. I'd also like to point out that municipal water supply via California American Water Company is also limited to a number of existing lots in the area, and for obvious reasons. There's water shortages in the area, and California American Water can't provide any additional water service to newly developed lots. And therefore, any newly developed lot is also required to have a domestic well on site. Now, the subject property is located right up here. It's in the northern portion of the Carmel Highlands area. And one of the things I'm going to point out in my discussion is that the site-specific conditions of the subject property are better than the area as a whole. This is kind of perhaps going to be somewhat review and just go over this, and this kind of has to do with the underlying issue with regarding to the pending on-site wastewater management plan. But ongoing permitting of on-site systems has been a regional board issue since prior to 1983. And in 1983, our basin plan was updated, and it included a recommendation for local agencies to develop and implement on-site wastewater management plans for various areas in our region, and one of those areas is the Carmel Highlands. Now, this concern is based on a high density of substandard lots that are generally less than 1 acre, which is the criteria that's in the basin plan, and for an area that's generally constrained by unfavorable physical conditions that are characterized by steep slopes, thin soil profiles, and shallow bedrock conditions that potentially has fractures in it. And then the growing number of domestic wells within the area is also of concern, given that recharge within the fractured areas of the bedrock are potentially under the influence of on-site wastewater disposal system leachate. Now, as a result of dialogue between our agency and Monterey County regarding this proposed project, the county has adopted two interim ordinances that are limiting any additional development within the Carmel Highlands area and set in motion the necessary steps towards conducting an area-wide study and developing and implementing an on-site wastewater management plan.
I have a question about that. I was under the impression that they already, under the MOU, they weren't going to be permitting anyone in this area anyway.
Well, they can still permit on-site wastewater disposal systems, but they have to be standard systems that meet the basic numeric design criteria and the prohibitions within the basin plan. They can do that, and the MOU allows them to do that, but it doesn't allow them to approve engineered systems.
Okay, and this ordinance, what does this ordinance give us that we didn't have before?
This gives us a commitment from Monterey County that they are now I think they've always been in agreement with us that this issue in this area needed to be addressed. But, you know, it comes down to priorities, and the county is just as stretched as anybody else. And so it was elevated to the County Board of Supervisors level, and they said, you know what, you're right. We can't keep ignoring this problem any longer, and they have directed staff to basically, and they have an ordinance now that any development that would either be, you know, new bathroom, additional bedrooms, a domestic well, an on-site wastewater disposal system, they're not going to permit them, except for there's a list of 10 right. permit applicants that kind of were in the process with the assumption that they were going to be able to proceed through.
But wasn't this ordinance drafted in order to get these 10 through? I mean, if it hadn't been for the 10, it's not clear to me why that Monterey County would have done this.
Done what?
The ordinance. Wasn't the ordinance designed so that the 10 could be exempted?
That's part of it, but I don't think you can necessarily say that they'd be specifically exempted, because the standards that are being applied to these 10 applicants are somewhat stringent.
No, I understand that, but are you saying that Monterey County would have gone ahead and passed this ordinance if those 10 applicants hadn't been out there?
No. It's all okay. Basically because of letters that we wrote to the county and
right.
said, we're done. We need to address this issue.
Okay, so there's no connection between the two, between the 10 applicants and Monterey County seeing the light?
No. The 10 applicants are kind of an artifact, because what they wanted to do is that they needed to provide relief for these folks that invested a considerable amount of time and money in the permitting process. You know, you've got to deal with Coastal Commission, local, you know, coastal planning issues. There's a test well, domestic well, that needs to be permitted first.
Mm-hmm.
You've got to go through the on-site wastewater. And sometimes permitting for a residence in this area can take several years, and all the different steps they have to go through.
Well, the 10 applicants have parcels that are less than 1 acre.
Generally. I think some of them are actually bigger. I'd have to go and look at the list. Well, and it doesn't guarantee, and this is the other thing I want to make very clear, is it does not guarantee that any or all of these 10 pending applicants will have a successful permit issued to them to build on the property. I mean, they're still constrained by the county's ordinance and our basin plan to the point where they may not be able to meet the requirements.
Matt, is there any water quality data for the water wells in the area?
Initially, when they're installed, they collect samples, and it's primarily with regard to bacteria.
Okay.
So we have very limited data, and this is something that hopefully it's going to be part of the county's area-wide study. Is they're going to go back and they're going to pull out all the data from the domestic test wells that have been installed in this area and look at it as part of their study.
Do we know if there's a problem with contamination of water supply wells or not?
Not directly, no. I haven't seen it, but I haven't reviewed any of the data. So there's anecdotal evidence that we've got, you know, some of the, I forget which one it is, a southernmost creek, where I think there's some residents that are claiming that there's leachate seeping into surface water. It's causing nutrient and algal problems. As well as potential seeps on the coastal front.
So the information goes to the potential failure of on-site disposal systems by surfacing leach fields and things of that nature, but we don't have any information really that water well water is being impacted.
No, but the telling information, and this is something that I'll just touch on briefly in the presentation, is that I've seen two separate recharge analyses done for this project in particular, and depending on whose side of the fence you're on, anywhere between 24 and 75% of the recharge into the fractured granite area where the domestic wells are screened is coming from
rainwater.
Domestic wastewater leachate. And I don't think you need to think too hard on that to realize, you know, the closed-loop cycle we're talking about, potentially. But we don't have the data that shows that that's actually happening. There is some inference, perhaps, with salts, you know, looking at chloride or sodium data, that may be an inference that proves that water is coming from the
What's the cutoff for water wells to be tested?
Well, for a single-family dwelling, it's one time.
One time.
One time. Just when it's installed, right before it's permitted.
And is that basically what we have here? Is a bunch of individual owner wells, and nothing that would require.
No, there's no requirement for them to resample it. Not unless the county comes in and
when you get
has reason
like
to.
Like what? I think doesn't EPA have a requirement if there's like 500 or some large number of people using
five.
The same?
It's five. Yeah, there's different grades. You've got.
Do we have any five?
Small systems that are five and greater. I imagine there may be some community systems within there, and that I think falls to California Department of Public Health oversight.
For any data from them? Sounds like that.
No, we haven't. And quite honestly, I haven't had time to do that. And that's where I am going to be. That's one of the aspects that I'm going to be looking at when I review the county's pending on-site wastewater management plan is whether or not they've looked at that data. Because I think that's a very important piece of their area-wide study.
Right. Okay.
I have an environmental health director here if you want to ask a question.
Yeah.
Okay. Sir, you want to come to the podium?
Yeah, this is Alan Stroh. He's the director of Environmental Health for Monterey County.
For the Monterey County.
What I'd like to, Alan Stroh, Monterey County Environmental Health Director. We have a local ordinance where we do small water systems, two to four connections. We do the state small, 5 to 14, and we are the LPA where we do the 15 through the 199. So we do have data on those wells. What happened in this area was because of the court case with the Carmel River and the adjudication of that area to some degree, the will serve letters that Cal-Am once issued to many lots of record in these areas were no longer any good. They couldn't honor them. So what happened was many of these people drilled their own wells. So we have a lot of individual wells that were drilled in this area, which exacerbated the problem with high density of on-site systems. And, I think the county family was waiting for solutions to that whole Carmel River issue. Those have not been forthcoming. Due to a series of circumstances, it's always been our desire at the health department to move forward with these on-site studies. I know we have other areas where the groundwater has been severely impacted, possibly by the density of septic systems. And we're very interested in taking a look and collecting information. We're in the process right now of finishing an RFP to get the study done, and we're prepared to move forward on whatever the results of that study are with our Board of Supervisors.
Well, this area has been developed for decades, right? I mean, there are homes there with water wells that go back decades and decades.
Well, I believe there's actually 500 lots in that area,
okay.
Lots of record. And of those, I think we still have about 200 lots that are still undeveloped.
Okay.
So there's still quite a few lots in those areas, but if you drive around up in that area, you'll see those lots are all different strange shapes and sizes perched on the side of the hill. And the first time I went up there, I looked and I go, how in the heck did anybody get a septic system in here? But much of that, you're correct, was done many, many years ago.
And does the county have water quality data from those wells?
Not on those individual wells.
Unless
the homeowner is responsible for testing and keeping, on their own individual well, their home is their castle. So any systems two to four, but I don't believe we have a lot of systems up there.
Actually, though, that all of these.
Come to the microphone, please.
This is Mary Ann Dennis, who's in charge of our land use area and environmental health.
Good afternoon, board members. It's important to remember that the lots surrounding this property and the vast majority of the existing lots of record in this area are serviced by Cal-Am. And it's only since the few years that Cal-Am has run out of any allocation for new development that we've had these requests for private wells. To get a private well in this area, it does have to have a coastal development permit, and we require a test well first, and then we require a hydrogeology report on that well. So there's a relatively small handful, you know, maybe five wells have gone through this process out of the area that does include 600 lots. So the majority of the development is served by either Cal-Am or a large community water system called Carmel Riviera Mutual Water Company.
How many water wells are in the area? Individual wells. Water wells.
I can't be specific, but I would say it's...
Your best estimate.
5 to 10.
That's all?
Yes, a small amount.
In this whole area of 500 lots?
Correct.
But then that's only considering the 300 developed lots. And this is the problem, is that it's slowly going to continue to be developed,
exactly,
the remaining 200 lots, and they will all require domestic wells.
And the point I wanted to make about the list of 10 people, those were applications that had been in process and considered complete by a certain date. Behind those 10 applications, there are a lot more future people that had requested applications to be handed out. They hadn't reached the completion stage in the process, so the board cut it off with just the folks who had reached the completion, the application complete. And any of those other applications that were in line, that were their projects were not considered complete, most of them included a water well. So we could see this becoming a serious problem.
And when, what year did that realization take place?
It just took place. The board took this action and adopted the ordinance last October.
Okay, but that's after you got Matt's letters.
Correct.
Which were pretty focused on problems which simply were highlighted, were highlighting the basin plan amendment of
and that is 20 correct.
Years ago.
Yeah, the problem is it's a recommendation in the basin plan, the way the language currently is written.
Okay.
That may very well change here in the near future.
And weren't your letters specific to this property that we're talking about?
Well,
weren't they in response to some request by the committee?
Yeah, they were a response to a request for clarification for this site, and I couldn't, in my professional judgment,
right,
just respond to it within the confines of that site because of the bigger picture issue.
Yeah, I understand that. I'm still having a hard time seeing how this particular development of these 10 sites didn't somehow, or this one site didn't somehow drive the county to all of a sudden see the light, because you're saying they saw the light because of your letters, and your letters were in response to the county's request for you to do something.
Well, to clarify,
I don't know. Okay.
I'm sorry. Maybe I misunderstood your question.
May I comment on that?
Yeah, please. You were there.
I'd hate for this to get into kind of a finger-pointing thing. In the past, we have letters on record where there have been recommendations to do this and do that, and they were in the form of recommendations, which in the past our elected officials said, that's nice, because these kinds of studies are very expensive. I had to take $500,000 out of my own budget to finance this Carmel area that we had set aside for other purposes, improvements to our IT system, et cetera. But we did that because we thought it was really important. And the reason we were able to move forward is because we got letters for the first time from the regional board that said, you shall. And that makes a whole lot of difference when you get a letter from the regional board that says you shall, not that we recommend. So that's the difference. And we asked for that. We did an interrogatory when there was a controversy that developed with regard to this project. And we were concerned about CEQA, and we wanted to make sure that we were following all the right steps. And that led us to inquire about about the whole situation. And that's when we got the letter saying, nope, you know what? You shall do this. And we were fine with that. Even though we want to do all the areas of the county affected. As a matter of fact, we want to study those systems. We're just looking for the money. That's always a big issue. So it's not easy to do these things.
Well, let me ask you this then, since I got you there. In the county's ordinance, it says that the county will be supplying to the regional board a timeline and schedule by December 1st for this. Then do we have that? I'm sorry. I'm asking.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No, we don't.
And so this December 1st, 2007, when they were supposed... In fact, the December 1st date was an extension of the original date of August 1st. And yeah. We still don't have that?
And that was based on their interim ordinance and their move forward towards the area.
I understand what it's based on, yeah. But so we still don't have that?
You know, I'm trying to remember. Did you,
Matt,
give me a tentative schedule. I apologize. There was a schedule because they were still trying to work this out between the staff level and the county board of supervisors level, and they were looking for more clear direction, as I understand it, from the board of supervisors before they wanted to give us a schedule. And they said, okay,
we have the best shot at it.
Pardon?
We have the timeline and schedule.
Yeah.
It was included as attachment 4 to the board of supervisors report with the ordinance.
Okay, maybe I didn't get that.
Okay. I don't think it's attached in our package.
Okay.
I apologize.
If you'd like me to review that for you, I could.
No, that's fine.
Okay.
Thanks. And then I had one more question for Matt. Sorry. Now, you said that this could provide could serve as a template for the other 9. What do you mean by that, a template?
Well, instead of having to go through this process, and this is certainly, you know, up to your purview, instead of having to go through this process for each of these other additional applicants uh-huh. that may come before us,
right.
The thought was we would try to streamline it if you felt that the requirements within this resolution were satisfactory enough that we would have you adopt it for all of them as a whole, and then we provide notification right. When each of these came before us.
Well, you know, the problem with that, I appreciate the attempt to streamline it. I think the problem with that is, as you said, each of these sites is different. Some are over an acre. And so I don't feel comfortable, just to tell you right now, I don't feel comfortable approving something for 10 sites when all you're telling us about is one site.
Yeah.
So...
And I feel the same way. I may receive the applications and feel... professionally that there's no way I could, you know, propose a resolution as well, but that's an issue that we can discuss at the end. If you don't want it that way,
unless you're going to present information on all 10 sites.
Yeah. And that's why I kind of said that it may be used as a template, and that's why I wanted to make that clear in my presentation as part of this process to alert you that these were additional ones were potentially going to come before you either collectively as a general waiver or individually.
Why don't you go ahead and finish with your staff report, because
I think we just covered everything. I'm done.
Oh, really?
No, I'm just kidding.
Mr. Right. Chair, just to add to I'm sitting here thinking about the other 200, and you talk about a template, and Mr. Shellcross had concerns of using that template to review the other 9 that would be a... But I'm thinking further out that we have possibility of 200 lots, and I know personally that some of those are not buildable because they're too steep or whatever. But even if there was 100 that were met the requirements to be built on, I'm looking as a precedent setting with this type of template that you're talking about, and I have some concerns with that, especially on small lots. With domestic wells and septic tanks together.
Yeah, no, I agree.
It's a great concern to me.
Agree with you completely, and that's why we're only talking about this small number of 10, because What is supposed to happen as part of this process is the county is going to do the area-wide study. They're going to develop an on-site wastewater management plan that is going to address that long-term perspective in how it's going to be developed.
I'll believe it when I see it, because this problem's been going on for 40 years in that area.
Yeah.
And it's not something new, and nobody's really tackled it until they have a threat of a lawsuit. And I think this is where this is going. But I'll let you finish, and we'll talk about it some more.
Well, let's hold off.
Okay.
Okay. You'll have plenty of time to go ahead and address that. I'd like Matt to go ahead and complete his report.
This is a geologic cross-section that was provided by the project applicant to Monterey County. It was part of that hydrogeologic report for the domestic test well. And the domestic test well that was installed on the site is right here. And I think it goes without saying, you know, in conjunction with the land use plan map, this hydrogeologic cross-section kind of hits home why this area as a whole is of concern. But I just want to note that with any hydrogeologic cross-section like this, as you move away from your test boring or whatever data points you have, the lithology is subject to interpretation. Okay, but this is generally consistent with our understanding of the area as a whole. Let's see here. Now, what I basically want to point out here is that the subject property generally has site conditions that are more favorable than the area as a whole. And what the Department of Water Resources well driller's report shows for the well that was installed here is that we have approximately 60 feet of decomposed granite above an approximately 180-foot layer of granite that has no observed fractures within it. And then at depth, you've got fractures where groundwater is first encountered at about 152 feet, and that's where the domestic well is screened. I don't think I necessarily need to go over this, but basically, again, I just want to emphasize, if you consider the site-specific conditions as determined from the soil boring we were just looking at and the percolation test, the subject property meets the basin plan numeric criteria for conventional septic system and a leach field. The system design that's being proposed is for a National Sanitation Foundation certified treatment system that can treat domestic wastewater to better than secondary effluent standards. And what we're talking about here is approximately 5 milligrams per liter BODE and 5 milligrams per liter TSS. And this is a pretty good level of treatment. It's also an ultraviolet disinfection system that's on the tail end of the treatment system prior to being discharged to a subsurface drip irrigation disposal system that's sized to handle roughly three times the design average daily flow rate of 450 gallons per day. And there's also a conventional leach field disposal system proposed for backup to that. Now, this is a plot map showing the property here and some of the adjacent properties. There are existing on-site wastewater disposal systems are located in this area here, and incidentally, as I understand it, and may this be clarified, is that these are actually proposed seepage pits that have been permitted, and they're relatively deep. They're probably 40, 50 feet deep within that same decomposed granite, and then there's another disposal area in this area here.
Can you define a seepage pit for us?
Well, a seepage pit is basically a large hole in the ground that's filled with a very permeable media, such that when you discharge your effluent to it, it goes all the way down to the bottom and has the benefit of being able to percolate out from more of a point source at the bottom of a pit versus dispersal over a wider area and a shallow, you know, leach field trench. And this is something that's commonly employed in areas where you have constrained physical conditions. I mean, you look at this lot, and there really isn't a lot of area for them to put in a conventional leach field. And my understanding is that this is being proposed to replace existing failed system. I was going to point out is all the lots immediately adjacent to the property are all served by California American Water Company. The subject property, if permitted, will have a water supply well that's located here, and that's the test well that we're looking at in that soil boring. The closest, the next closest domestic water supply well is located approximately 500 feet southeast of the subject property. It's going down in this area here, and incidentally, that well serves the primary residence of the project applicant, Mr. Cashvey. There's two additional wells that are located within approximately 1,000 feet of the site to the southwest and the southeast, respectively.
So these are some of the wells that the county told me that there were maybe 5 to 10 in the whole area.
If he was referring to private wells.
Yeah. Well, I'm assuming that there are private wells based on the data that I've seen from one. I know at least one of them is a private well.
Are there non-private wells?
Well, there's the
The
Carmel Riviera. The Carmel Riviera in this northern area.
Does Cal Am have wells?
No.
No. So what is a non-private well?
Yeah, it's a well supplying a mutual water company.
Aha. Uh-huh.
And
how many are there of those?
There. To my knowledge, there's not a lot of small mutual water companies in the area. Carmel Riviera is a fairly large system. I can't. It's over 50 connections. I can't think of exactly how many connections it is.
Okay.
So we do not have a lot of shared wells where, you know, two people or two to four connections go together and share a well in this area.
How is their water quality?
Carmel Riviera has water that meets the quality standards.
It does, okay.
And part of the reason we don't have a lot of small mutual water companies with less than four connections is because the wells do not produce a large volume of water. There, you know, we have a minimum requirement of 3 gallons per minute for these wells.
Okay.
Man, are those structures that you have outlined there on those? Yeah, like
yeah.
That.
Yeah, these are the homes, I believe, that are existing on the properties, and then, you know,
okay,
the lots are
vacant.
You only
mentioned the one well. How do those other structures fed?
They're all on California American Water. They've all been there
okay. Prior
to when Cal-Am stopped providing service.
All right. Thank you.
Okay. Now, the location of the proposed on-site wastewater disposal system is going to be in this area here, and the reason being is that it has to be outside of a 100-foot radius from the closest water supply well, which is the on-site well. And it therefore meets our standard minimum 100-foot setback of siting an on-site wastewater system from a domestic or water supply well. Now, Mr. Russell Hunkow, he's the technical consultant for neighboring property owners who are opposed to this project, and he provided written comments that are attached to a supplemental sheet to this order, and he's also going to be making a formal presentation to highlight his concerns as well. And I just want to point out some of the neighboring property owners. I think the Franks residents that he's representing, and then also Gwenda Amaral and Mr. Is it Miller? I'm sorry. They live in a residence up in this area here, but they also own the two lots that are fronting Corona Road, this one and another one, I think, that's just slightly off the map. Now, Mr. Hunkel's primary contention is that noted fractured bedrock conditions in the Carmel Highlands area requires a 250-foot setback of a on-site wastewater disposal system from any water supply well. Now, the basin plan language for this prohibition is somewhat vague. However, this prohibition has always been applied and intended to be used for situations where there's very little vertical separation between the bottom of the disposal area and noted bedrock with fracture conditions or any sort of other fissures or fractures that would present a potential pathway. Now, in addition, what I believe Mr. Hunkel is trying to argue is that siting of this Cashvey domestic well does not meet the 250-foot setback from the existing disposal systems, and in one case doesn't meet the 100-foot standard setback, because what we've got over here in this area is evidently there's a distribution box for this leach field that is within approximately 90 feet of the on-site domestic test well. And then the problem with his argument is that we only have the authority to regulate setbacks from proposed on-site wastewater disposal systems to existing water supply wells and not the converse, which falls within Monterey County's well permitting authority. Now, within our authority, we could apply the 250-foot setback rule to the project applicant's on-site test well. And what that would do is it would preclude him basically from being able to develop the property, because if you do a 250-foot radius from this well, it essentially encompasses all the adjacent lots, and there's no place for him to place his disposal field. Now, I just went over that. And I'm proposing that we adopt Resolution R3-2008-20 because the proposed on-site wastewater disposal system meets the specific design criteria and prohibitions within the basin plan. The advanced level of treatment is protective of water quality and the adjacent water supply wells, and that additional constraints may be placed on this property as a result of the county's area-wide study and the on-site wastewater management plan.
But those constraints wouldn't necessarily protect beneficial uses. Those are just building permits.
Well, no, the on-site wastewater management plan is the primary focus is to protect water quality and public health. That should be the primary impetus of that study, is whether or not, I mean, the real question here is not, is the proposed on-site disposal system going to potentially impact water supply wells or the groundwater in that area? It's how protective are all the existing on-site wastewater disposal systems to water quality, and you know, at what limit, you know, what additional development is this problem going to reach ahead? And so that's what the area-wide study and the on-site wastewater management plan are supposed to address, is the collective problem of the area as a whole.
Well, shouldn't that precede any request to this board for exempting or waiving a basin plan requirement?
Well, that's one approach, and the problem that I have is when I look at the criteria in the basin plan that we are supposed to evaluate these systems by, it meets the criteria. If you look at the site-specific conditions, you know, you've got vertical separation, you know, beneath the disposal areas to granite, and there's no fractures. You've got a wastewater treatment system that goes well above and beyond what we see normally in the way of removal of contaminants and bacteria.
When was the first time we asked for this area-wide study?
I think it was first presented in the 1983 Basin Plan Amendment for the on-site wastewater system requirements. But, again, it was a recommendation.
Mm-hmm. But we asked for it for the first time in 83?
Yeah.
And now it's now they have to pass an emergency ordinance.
Matt, how many semi-annual reports documenting failures of and permitting activities relating to on-site wastewater disposal systems in the Carmel Highlands have we received to date?
Unless I received one last day, I think it's been one.
Okay, and we asked for two.
Yeah, I don't think I've received the second one, unless it was submitted to me in the last day or so.
Okay. What information did you glean from that might be relevant to our discussion?
Well, the first one was rather limited. It showed, I think, a couple failures and replacements, and then others were for complete teardowns and rebuilds within the area. It's not uncommon for somebody to go in and buy a lot, just tear the house down and build a brand new house.
So how many properties were identified in this first report?
I think there were approximately half a dozen.
A half a dozen.
But again, three or four of them were for either upgrades or, you know, a whole rebuild.
And are these activities that have occurred in the last few years?
No, this was just since, I believe, January of 2007.
D- does the county have any data that precedes January of 2007?
Well, we've been asking for that. And according to the response that I've gotten is that their filing systems and their databases has been difficult for them to
perhaps someone from the county could come
provide.
Back up and tell us something more about, I mean, you know, we've delegated to you our authority to regulate on-site wastewater disposal systems.
We have hard copy files of the septic system permits that have been issued in the area. We've spent the last 3 months entering the data for all those hard copy files into our computer program so that we can survey this information electronically. And we're going to also go ahead and photocopy or store the photos of the hard copy in a computer program. We have Questus, and that will be given to the consultant to evaluate.
Okay. Is this hard copy data, is it just the applications for
it's application,
on-site disposal systems?
Yes. It's an application, a plot plan, with the description of what type of system was installed in those locations, and then the actual septic permit.
And do you have a hard copy for each of the 300 developed lots?
I can't guarantee that we have one for every lot because some of these lots were developed many, many years ago. So by entering this data into the system, into the computer program, we'll be able to analyze which pieces might be missing.
Does the county have a requirement that when a septic tank system is pumped, that a report get generated?
A report is not sent to the health department when they get pumped.
So you'd have
that is not a requirement.
So your database is really not going to help us too much in terms of what is the status of all of these septic tanks, in terms of how well are they functioning.
We should be able to figure out how many replacements have taken place since the initial installations.
Do you have a requirement that when there's a replacement done, that something gets sent to you?
When there's a replacement, they have to get a new permit.
Okay, what about a repair?
And a repair requires a permit.
Okay.
Are there any test data that's associated with those replacements and repairs?
We have soil studies on new development. I don't know how much we'll have on the repairs and replacements.
So there's no PERC tests that are done during that?
It is possible. I can't say how many were done. It's not routinely done for replacements.
Okay. Thank you. Yeah. And well, that's in Big Sur.
Not very far.
Yeah. Well, 20 miles or something. Okay. Anything else, Matt?
No, I think that's it.
That's it.
Yeah,
part.
That's my spiel.
Yeah.
Unless
okay.
You have any more questions for me? We'll let Mr. Russell Hunkow.
Right.
I just have one very quick question.
Of course, and then we'll go to our speaker cards.
I don't see any reference to when this on-site wastewater management plan will be completed and ready for implementation. I look through several different documents.
The interim ordinance that was adopted to halt development while we're preparing this plan is initially approved for a year, and then we get and then we're planning on applying for an 8-month extension. So our plan is to by April of 2009 to begin the CEQA process, have the report completed, begin the CEQA process, and then send it to our Board of Supervisors for adoption. And we hope to be back to the regional board for approval by September of 2009.
And so then what will occur once you have that on-site management plan in place?
Well, the scope of work is almost complete, and we're going to be sending it to Matt for a comment within the next week. We're hoping to have alternatives analysis that would, you know, analyze whether what the current impacts are, what the baseline information can tell us, and then determine what would be the best long-term approach for build-out for the area, or if build-out can commence or keep going. one option would be, should the area be connected to Carmel Area Wastewater District? Or if we continue to allow on-site systems, what level of treatment should be associated with those systems, and what level of ongoing monitoring and reporting should be associated with those systems?
So you will actually, well, there may be a component of this that actually addresses the 300 existing and
Correct.
Start to
oh,
address.
Oh, yeah. I fully expect it to,
yeah,
yes.
Yeah, it has to address the existing and the future build-out. It's got to take into account the area as a whole.
So there would be some responsibility for the individual operators of the on-site systems to begin to do maintenance and assessment
and routine reporting.
Yeah. And will you also build in some of the information that Chair Young just referred to in terms of pump out or any kind of routine maintenance and so forth? Those
That's
will
correct.
Also be reported upon.
That's correct.
Thank you.
Do you currently have, I hope I didn't already ask this, but it's possible. Do you currently have a requirement that tanks be pumped on any frequency?
It's a recommendation. It is not part of the ordinance at this time. So that very well could be part of the on-site wastewater management plan, a requirement for a new ordinance that would come out of that plan.
Okay. All right. Okay. Why don't we go to our speakers?
Russell, did you fill out a card?
I'll tell you. The cards I have, Rick Koshvi, Aaron.
Okay. We're going to... I'm sorry. I don't mean to interrupt. I don't know if you recall, but there was an agreement that was worked out with you that in lieu of the project opponents having their individual 3 minutes, you were going to allow their technical consultant a 15-minute presentation, and that's Mr. Russell Onko.
I remember that.
And then we'll go to the cards
okay.
after that.
Okay.
Thank you. Sorry. Let me bring up his overhead for him here.
Can we look at your cross-section just for a second?
Sure.
Good afternoon, board members. I prepared some remarks, but I did want to comment just briefly, if I might, on some of the things Matt said. The question was raised as to whether the county ordinance had anything to do with this particular site, whether anything would have been done. And I think if you look at Matt's letters of March 7th and May 7th, 2007, it's very clear that that's the case. This particular site and these particular conditions are driving this. And there's something good about that, but there's also some negative aspects. I just wanted to point out on this cross-section, this is a cartoon. This bedrock is shattered. You can walk up and down the streets there and see outcrops of fractured granite. It's an uneven surface, so some places you hit fractures, some you don't, some it's a little bit deeper, some places it's shallower. But where you see the subject well, it looks like there's a 60-foot mantle of DG mm-hmm. on top of the hard bedrock surface. This particular site, as you'll see in a moment when you look at the map I put up, has a problem because these vertical disposal wells are 50 foot deep. So one might think, well, there's a 60-foot buffer between the surface discharge and the top of the fractured bedrock. In fact, you're pouring it down essentially a well to within 10 feet of the top of the bedrock. I also have some information about water quality. I saw a question was raised on that point. Okay, you can put up my map. Basically, we're opposing this waiver after the analysis that I performed because it's going to result in nuisance, pollution, lawsuits between neighbors, contaminated wells, water quality impacts. Moreover, it violates the basin plan, and I think we can establish that. This is a figure similar to what you've already seen, and I've put setback radii on the figure. You see 100 feet, which would be standard from a septic field, 150 feet, which would be standard from these vertical seepage pits, and I'm talking about the numerical setbacks, and 250 feet, which is the basin plan narrative setback from septic disposal points where there are fractured conditions. And as I say, I believe it's just unequivocal that this is a fractured geologic setting. The U.S. Geological Survey has studied this. Matt's looked at the data. The consultants for the applicant have looked at it. What's germane here in addressing the setbacks is they're not a magic bullet. They have to be taken, and this application has to be considered in terms of cumulative impact. What does this new system add to the cumulative impact? And what's key here is that this new system, when it comes in, the well comes with it. That well has never been pumped. No one's ever consumed any water from it. That exposure pathway has not been completed. However, if this is approved, the building permit comes with it, that exposure path via the well is completed. So if you look at this site, you can see that there are six disposal fields within the 250-foot narrative setback requirement within the basin plan for fractured areas. That is the current failing Franks field. Up to the north is the Dechter and Olson fields. They're both shown quarried because I'm not exactly sure where they are. They're very old. If you come around to the Silver property, there's leach fields up in the right-hand corner there. That's the old field that's already failed. The replacement field is in the front of the property right there. You'll note the D-box shown there. That D-box is 90 feet away from the well. That doesn't even meet the numerical setbacks. Matt argued, and I agree with him entirely, that a D-box is part of a septic system. The letters couldn't be any clearer, the letters that he wrote to the Monterey County Health Department. It's in the well drilling regs. It's Department of Water Sources has been very clear on this. A D-box is part of a septic system. The county's ignored that interpretation to allow this 100-foot setback narrative, numerical 100-foot setback to be ignored. If you then come around to the south, you'll see the Proust property. This property also uses these 50-foot deep wells. Now, the setback, as I said, is 150 feet from a well for these what are, you can think of them as dry wells in essence, 50-foot deep wells that effluent is discharged to. This is just outside that 150. If you then come around, the next property is Miller. They're somewhat beyond the 150. He's already had a failure there. And then you come back to the Franks property. There's the leach field that's failing. And the permitted wells, if you'll point to those, John, those are, again, 50-foot deep dry wells. They will receive primarily treated septic effluent and put it into the ground 10 feet above the top of fractured bedrock. So we've started with numerical setbacks, and one numerical setback that you're borderline on, okay, that's one thing. This is six. The new system represents seven. I think that it's fair to say that the situation here in the Highlands in this this site in particular bears an uncanny an uncanny similarity to Los Osos. We have a high density of private systems on small lots. What's not shown on this, but if you came just off the site there, about 400 feet, let's see, just off the eastern edge of that map, there are 10 lots. The largest of them is approaching a half an acre. Most of them are between 0.3 and 0.4. They're all on individual systems. Now, this hasn't been a problem in the past because there were no wells. 3 years ago, the county decided that they would allow wells on lots less than 1 acre, non-conforming lots, with private septic. And this is one of the first ones to come down the pipe. We've looked at this, and at what's already been discussed by Matthew, and I must say, I feel troubled to be even disputing anything Matt said, because his letters, his analysis was right on the money. He saw the problems here with the fracturing, with the setbacks. He argued for the D-box. He pushed the need for the area-wide study through the county. And all of this is to be commended. I don't really have any problem with his analysis, frankly. And if you read the letters from March 7th and May 7th, you will see that he was right there saying, this is not a good idea. The disconnect that I'm having is between that analysis in the May 7th letter and a recommendation for approval. And there is no technical analysis in the file that says, oh, well, we looked at the recharge. We've analyzed the fractures. We've taken some water quality data. The county has provided us failure information. None of that information is there. So the last thing that we understood on the 7th of May is this is a bad idea. and we came around to January 18th, and it's getting the green light. So
I have one question for you, if I could, and I stopped your clock. Why are your clients so concerned about Mr. Cashfee's water supply well? I mean, it doesn't directly affect them.
It does in a very big way, and here's how. First of all, if you pollute someone's well, you can see the potential ramifications of that. If bacteria shows up in that well, whoever owns it at that time is going to want to know why that well is polluted, who's responsible for it, seek redress. Secondly, and what's really critical in this area, there have been untold numbers of leach field failures up in this area. One of the reasons is because they were old systems. Many of these sites had these old redwood tanks. When you put the well and the constraints that that has, you also constrain people's ability to replace failing leach fields. The county has a requirement that you have to have replacement field, often only one, but there have been multiple failures on the Franks have had two failures. I believe Miller has had two. Up to the Amarals have had one or two. Both the two lots to the north have had at least two failures. So where do you put your replacement field? Not only are you losing some of the territory, and this area is constrained not only by just the space. These are small lots. There's steep slope issues. If you can pull this down and look at the north edge of this, that is the Point Lobos Preserve there, about 300 feet from this site. And that cliff that drops off between those two property lines is in excess of a 50-degree slope. So there's not a lot of room to move around with slope constraints, small parcel sizes, and there's also the issue of heritage trees and cutting down trees in general in that area. So it's a nightmare, frankly. What this leads to then, if there is to be replacements, is of course you don't replace with lines, you replace with wells. And wells, as I hope I've established, are a very, very serious problem here because they go right down to the top of the fractured bedrock. The county ordinance, can you give me a read on my time, sir?
5:41.
Remaining?
Yeah.
Thank you. I think one of the points that has come out here and seems to be at the cornerstone of what, frankly, I would call a deal here to let this go through in light of a staggering density of private dischargers is that the county's passed this ordinance. And the ordinance is tailored fairly clearly, and it has various requirements. One of the things that staff did not know, because I brought it to their attention, after they'd made the decision to approve this waiver, is that this site hasn't even complied with the ordinance that it was basically the reason for. One of the things the county said was, okay, fractures are a problem. There's a dispute about there being fractures. To be permitted within an area that may be fractured, you have to put in 3 70-foot minimum borings, core them, and determine if it's fractured terrain. This went for approval to the Board of Supervisors, and that requirement, which is really probably the strongest mitigating factor in the county ordinance, frankly, up in this area, is determine if you've got fractured terrain. It was waived. So this is part of a pattern of really looking at what should be stop signs should say this is not the right place to put a water well in the middle of 7 systems or to add additional waste discharge to an area that I believe Matt already discussed with you the recharge numbers for. I mean, this is very serious. I did the analysis when I first looked at this using rainfall data from the survey, using infiltration data from the county, standard geologic aquifer recharge calculation approach. I estimated that 75% of the recharge around this well is coming from septic effluent. Now, of course, the applicant's consultant challenged that severely, came forward and used what they said was appropriate data, and they concluded that that well is receiving 24% of its recharge from primarily treated septic effluent. And I have not been able to come to grips with the fact that we could be saying we're protecting public health and the environment by greenlighting a well that receives a quarter of its recharge from a leach field. It's technically, I don't think that rises to the appropriate level of care for this type of analysis, at least not mine. So at this point, I wanted to leave a little bit of time for questions, but in summary, this site is probably the worst case you could think of to put a well into. And as it stands now, there is no exposure pathway through that well. There are no doubt other technical ways that this site could be developed, but those really shouldn't be the purvey of the County Health Department or the Regional Board. That's what professional home builders do. They figure out ways to develop their property, but they have to do it responsibly, and that's what I'm urging the board to confirm by denying this waiver.
You've still got a couple of minutes.
Good. Are there any
questions? I have a question for you right now, and
certainly.
That is the folks that are here, are they from what I would think of as environmental health services as opposed to the part of health services that deals with water supply?
Do you mean from the
water
county?
Water wells, yeah, from the county.
Well,
question for them, right?
Well, he might be able to answer that.
Water wells in systems.
Do you guys permit mentioned. And regulate water wells? You do. But are you the health officer,
yeah.
quote-unquote health officer for the county? And so this is a...
Health officer. I serve the health officer...
To the microphone, please.
And I use that term kind of loosely. You know, the health officer is a...
My position, I'm the Assistant Director of Health and the Director of Environmental Health. The health, much of what environmental health does under the authority of the health officer.
Okay.
So in
and
that regard.
And you guys permit water wells?
We do permit water wells. It's a ministerial ordinance that we have in the county here that just assures that the well is properly drilled and properly sealed.
And then test properly after it's up and running. That one-time test. Is
that the well, they have to prove the well.
They have to test the well for production capacity, and then one bacteriological test after that.
That's what I mean.
Yes.
Yeah. And what about? Is it just bacteria? I mean, do you think with an area like this, that's so fractured? And has such communication, you know, between strata that maybe something other than bacteria should also be used to give you an idea whether there's any communication going on between all of this wastewater effluent and water supply.
With all due respect, you're preaching to the choir. If you follow the politics in Monterey County, I don't know what county you live in, but
Santa Barbara.
There has been a tremendous, we've been trying to get a GP, general plan update now for the last 7 years. I came up here as director 6 years ago, and I am not going to apologize for the past. I wasn't here then. But there are a number of areas that we've made major improvements in, and there's a number of areas we need to make further improvements in, not only within environmental health, but also in the policies that we pursue in this county. But it's very difficult, you know, and I hate to get up into this 100,000-foot level, but I'm a little disturbed by the tenor of this about, you know, because I feel the integrity of our department is being challenged here. But... policy-wise, there's a number of things that need to be done. It's just very, very difficult to get things done in this county, and that is not through lack of effort. I want to assure this board, myself personally, and also our policy of the health department is to protect public health, and we have a number of draft ordinances that we are planning to. Present to our Board of Supervisors once our general plan update is passed. We expected that to happen 6 years ago. It still hasn't happened. There's a lot of things going on here, and I just want you to try to understand that.
Well, I do understand that, but when I hear that there's the applicant has submitted data that suggests that 24% of the recharge for its water well is coming from septic tank effluent, if that's true, I have a hard time just saying, okay, I'll let you guys just worry about that, and it's
Well, we've had dueling experts on this, and I think it would be appropriate to hear the other side, too. So
I know. Well, we're going to get to that. You have two more minutes, sir. Are you finished with your presentation?
Almost.
Okay.
Mr. Wilson would like to take a little bit of my time, but let me say one thing on behalf of the Environmental Health Department. They turned this thing flat down when it first came before them. It's since then that there's been some movement, shall we say.
Okay.
Secondarily, there is a little bit of water quality data. This well already has 280 parts per million of chloride in it, often considered an indicator, and above the secondary drinking water standard. What's critical about that is if you look at those permitted deep wells that are exactly 100 feet, 150 feet away from this well, they aren't in use yet. So, again, this is another piece of information that Matt did not have when he originally looked at this waiver, which is he thought those were already in use. So if you looked at the first water sample, you'd say, well, okay, there's no bacteria in it. Maybe that's some sort of indication, even though obviously the pumping of the well will draw effluent down into the fractures, and you're going to add Mr. Cashvey's own system, if that were. But here, 150 feet away, and 150 feet is not a heck of a lot more than the going across this room. You've got these deep wells. They haven't been used yet, and they're upslope and up gradient, and when they're put into use, given the existing indications, not to mention the density issue here, I think this is just one that is crying out to be dealt with solely on a technical basis and leave other considerations aside.
Okay, you've got 50 seconds left.
The board was correct in questioning Mr. Killing, because I think this whole effort has been a part of your staff to snowball you guys and to approve it, and luckily you saw right through this, and it's been a deal with the county and Mr. Keeling and Mr. Briggs to get this through as a special exemption and affect our health.
Okay. We'll go to our speaker cards. Okay. Rick Cashvey, followed by Aaron Bierman, and then Richard Dante, David Holland, Andrew Brownstone, Jim Staples, and John Bridges. If there's anyone else that wishes to address the board on this matter, please fill out a card and submit it to one of our staff members. Okay.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chair. Just a point of clarification in that order. We're going to switch the first and the last with your permission,
fine,
sir. I'm John Bridges.
Okay, you're
Mr.
on top.
Mr. Cashvey will bat cleanup, if you will.
Go ahead.
And I'm Mr. Cashvey's attorney, and we appreciate the opportunity to present to you today. I think it's very important that we keep in mind as you consider this particular application that we are talking about a site-specific, well-specific, property-specific matter as distinguished from the area wide issue and matter, which I know there's been quite a bit of discussion about today. The objections to Mr. Cashvey's project originated as a result of some neighbors' private view concerns, and those issues have been discussed ad nauseum at the county level. The issues with regard to the well and with regard to the septic system have been reviewed on numerous occasions, and the objections of Mr. Yunkel have been overruled several times by county planning staff multiple times, by the county zoning administrator twice in approving the well twice, by the county environmental health department in a four-page letter with numerous recommendations for approval from that same department to the county decision makers. The Monterey Peninsula Water Management District has issued a permit for the well. Your own staff, Mr. Keeling et al., have recommended approval of this waiver, and all of the experts that are going to testify behind me, Mr. Bierman, Mr. Dante, Mr. Holland, and Mr. Brownstone, will all support your staff's recommendation. There is no evidence of any water quality problem with Mr. Cashvey's well, either on this site or his home parcel, which is nearby. There have been numerous tests, and on top of that fact, there are also extraordinary measures being taken with regard to the septic system on this particular property. In response to the neighbors' questions, literally this binder of information, documents, studies have been produced, and they have all been presented to your staff. And in addition, in response to a suggestion by the supervisors, a third-party peer review has been prepared by a San Jose firm, GeoConsultants, Inc., that also affirms that information. As your staff has explained to you, this particular site-specific circumstance does not require any special advanced treatment septic system, but Mr. Cashvey, in an effort to respond and address all of the questions beyond any shadow of a doubt, has offered to design and has, in fact, designed an advanced treatment technology that will produce subsurface drip irrigation quality effluent. In terms of the Highlands in general, the result of the moratorium ordinance is that the door has been closed until you are satisfied with regard to the area-wide study and a new basin management plan. With regard to this particular project and perhaps nine others, depending upon their site-specific circumstances, all of which will need to come to you, you will decide whether these small handful of properties that have been in process for a long time may continue to proceed. And I will wrap up. Mr. Chair, your staff has confirmed that this project and this property meets all of the conventional standards. It meets the basin management plan. Mr. Cashvey has met every test requirement and has complied with every procedural regulation for the past 2.5 years. And we would urge you to grant the waiver for this property based on its site-specific circumstances in accordance with your staff's recommendation. Thank you for allowing me an additional 12 seconds, sir. I appreciate that. And if you have any questions, I would be happy to try to respond, but I think the experts will do a better job.
Okay. Did Mr. Cashvey want to go at the end of the list?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
All right. Any questions for this witness? Okay.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Mr. Bierman?
Hi, my name is Aaron Bierman. I'm a professional geologist and a certified hydrogeologist. I've worked extensively in the Carmel Highlands. As we all know, the Carmel Highlands is a fractured area. It has undulating surface, as we have shown in the cross-section presented earlier. It's consistent with layer of terrace deposits with decomposed granitic sands. In the absence of having a wastewater management plan, we looked at site-specific geology and hydrogeology to determine what would be the best working relationship between a septic system and an on-site well, and whether or not they could coexist. I'm going to basically line out a couple facts here. The test hole was permitted, drilled, and constructed in accordance to all state and county regulations. The well was constructed with an 80-foot sanitary seal versus a standard 50-foot sanitary seal, and it goes 20 feet into bedrock. That's not fractured rock. That's bedrock. The well was also screened sufficiently deep, well below first encountered groundwater, at 454 feet to 614 feet in order to prevent any potential groundwater degradation in the future. Granite drilling, the gentleman who drilled the well documents 60 feet of decomposed granitic sand and soil surveys. Cashvey's soils engineer classifies the soils as a fine to coarse silty granitic sand, not a fractured granite at the surface. Neither of these classifications suggests fractures, fissures, or cracks, as the narrative basin plan suggests. Fractured granite is first reported at 240 feet below ground surface, which is where we first encounter groundwater. The static water level that Mr. Keeling has reported at 150 feet is due to confining pressure differentials in the granite rock. Pump testing of the Cashvey well back 3 years ago now suggests that the well supply is adequate for a long-term sustainable yield. Pump testing also revealed that there was less than significant hydrogeologic connectivity with the other wells. As you can notice on this map here, there's another well right over in the corner, and that well is owned by Mr. Cashvey himself, who resides at that residence now. That well has been in operation for 4 years with a similar setting of high-density systems, and that well, as is with the well that we are discussing, neither of them have any type of contamination that would indicate signature effluents or contamination from septic leachate. That would include nitrates, orthophosphates, surfactants. There's approximately 4 or 5 wells in this area. 2 rounds of groundwater sampling from each of these wells suggest the same evidence, no groundwater degradation.
Can you wrap it up, please?
Yes. I think we've done the due diligence, and the alternative wastewater treatment design that has been established has ultimately proven out that this well and septic system could coexist together with no public harm to water quality or degradation.
Thank you for your comments. Any board questions?
Yeah, I do, Mr. Chair.
Mr. Jeffries.
How do you determine whether it's fractured or not fractured?
Well, during drilling, you look at the drilling and how the rods penetrate the ground. Generally, when the rods penetrate at a greater rate, there's more fractures than whether the rod will take 20 minutes or it'll take 5 minutes. When you're going through a rod every 20 minutes, you know there's no fractures. The other way to tell if there's fractures is whether or not there's water encountered. Generally, if you have a fracture, you have water.
Isn't it common knowledge that whole range of mountains there are several fractures within that granite throughout that whole area?
Yes, I'm not denying that there's the whole area is a fractured granitic area. Again, it's undulating surfaces and it's site specific. So, regionally, without the information of a regional study, you have to look at first at a site specific and then broaden your horizons outward. And based on the information that we obtained from the site,
there's no evidence.
There is no evidence of fractured granite near the surface.
Right. Thank you.
Well, but is that evidence from the drilling that you did?
That's not only evidence from the drilling, but that's evidence from percolation testing that soil surveys completed.
Okay.
On that site?
On that site. Percolation testing. Mr. Dick Dante will discuss that more.
Okay. Well, from the drilling that you did, okay, and the rate of replacement of your drill heads, how far from that particular vertical column are you suggesting that there is unfractured granite laterally and vertically? How far do you extrapolate that data in that column outward?
Well, that's, for instance, when we did the pump test, we monitored the well next, we monitored two of those wells. During our pump test, we were pumping that well at about 3.4 gallons a minute. And during that pumping test, we saw no constructive interference with the adjacent well, which could potentially mean that the fracturing, there's not significant fracturing that interlinks those two wells.
So there was no drawdown from the other well as during
correct.
The pump test?
And what's the distance between those two?
I don't have a scale in here, maybe 500 feet.
Okay. All right. Anything else, Mr. Jeffries?
No, I'm sure I'll have okay. one before it's over.
Okay. Yeah, Mr. Shallcross.
Someone stated earlier that there was a waiver of a requirement to do some drillings.
Yeah, Mr. Hunkel, in the interim ordinance, the new interim ordinance the county put
right.
together is that there's now required 370-foot borings.
And so was that waived for this case? Do you know?
As my understanding, we have the well at the site is on the range of 800 feet, so I would say we went way beyond 70 feet.
But I thought there were supposed to be three, right? Under the ordinance?
And the purpose of that is to get more of a lateral.
Right, right. That's what I'm getting at. So I'm just wondering, do you know whether it was waived or not?
I don't know if it was waived.
Okay. So is that well the only place there was a boring taken or a drilling?
No, that well is one boring, and then there were several other borings done on the property.
Where?
I don't have the information. Mr. Dick Dantes, a soils engineer, will discuss that.
And how do you? Okay, is he going to talk later? Okay, great, thanks.
I believe they were all much shallower too. I don't necessarily recall them going down into the granite.
Okay, why don't we hear from Mr. Dante? Thank you very much.